The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The writers of Alabama have posted their high school rankings in 2026. Let's break them down. It's Thursday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
We are back here in the ESPN 106.7 studio, and it's been one of those days thus far where you're running around. It was a day that I had to sprint in from the studio next door getting some audio to be able to play from y'all later. But look, it is a day, and it's a great day to be here in the Auburn Opelika area here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, or that Radio Alabama app. No Christian Griffin for one more day. He'll be back with us tomorrow. He is in travel, so, you know, safe travels to him. Hopefully he will be able to get back here in one piece and be able to update all of us on his trip, his Alcatraz experience that he had last night. I know that he was telling me about how much fun he had there, just being a little kid again. There's a video game in which you play an Alcatraz, so he's played it, so he was doing all of that. So he'll be back. I'm Trip Upton, keeping it with you here in the studio, and it's going to be a great day here on the line. Looking ahead to what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be reacting to the Alabama Sports Writers Association recent poll about the high school ranks from 6A all the way to AISAA, but mostly you're going to want to hear about Auburn and Lee Scott, so we're going to be able to talk a little bit about that. I mean, high school sports season is almost here. It's going to be here before the Auburn University season starts out in Atlanta, so the Tigers will take on the Huskies in Duck Sanford Stadium, and then there's going to be a rivalry game on the campus of Lee Scott with the Warriors taking on the Glenwood Gators. So you're not going to want to miss that. We'll talk to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, hear what he had to say about fall camp today, as well as some other things going on around Auburn athletics. I was out at fall camp this morning with Bill Cameron of The Drive, and we were able to get some good stuff, got some good audio that we're going to be able to play for you here, and then hopefully get Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast, talk about what's going on across the Southeastern Conference when it comes to what is going on. Phone lines will be open throughout the show, on and off. Obviously, when we're talking to Brad and Chris, they will be off. But if you have something you want to say, you want to react, you want to give any quick hitters, phone lines are wide open. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Unfortunately, I don't know, because of the flight and what Christian's schedule is, I don't know if the text box is going to be open, but 99% of other days, the Send Medicine text box is open. The text box brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the plains. Become a member today by visiting SendMedicine.com, S-E-N-N Medicine.com. So, well, hopefully, if I get the go-ahead from Christian, seeing that he is off the plane, then we might be able to open that up, but it's going to be very tough with him. He literally just texted me saying that they can send a text for all of 8 minutes. He is about to be wheels up, heading back from the West Coast to the East Coast, so safe travels to you, my friend. So what we're going to be talking about to start the show off is something that I am passionate about in the Alabama high school football, and the recent AWSA, that is the Alabama Sports Writers Association, they posted their rankings for all of the classifications yesterday while we were on air, And I want to be able to react to him, kind of give you what's going on in the, as we start our high school coverage with Jacka and the voice of the Tigers, Rob Pate, Carson Meyer, and myself, part of the Auburn High crew, Christian Griffin, as well as Caleb Robertson for the Lee Scott Warriors. Again, we're all just super invested in what is happening at the high school ranks, and we're going to be able to break this down for you right here. So we'll start with 6A. The new top classification, no more 7A, if you remember correctly, because of the private school, public school split. And the number one team is, well, the one that you would expect here in the state of Alabama, the Thompson Warriors, the defending state champions, I believe back-to-back state champions. They received all 20 first-place votes here, and I don't disagree with that at all. Thompson, what Coach Mark Freeman has been able to do as the head coach of the Warriors is nothing sort of spectacular. Bringing in a guy like Trent Seaborn, a guy that is trying to develop and continuing to develop to be a top five quarterback in this class, easily a top three quarterback in the state right now. A lot of people have him at number one, and I mean, if you're going to say that, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I might have a differing opinion because I think the guy that Auburn has is just as good, but again, I'm biased, but the Warriors are number one, and you don't have to go far to find a regional opponent for the Auburn Tigers in the Central Phoenix City Red Devils, and it is going to be an interesting year for the Red Devils because no Patrick Nix as the head coach of the Red Devils from Phoenix City pulling up. I'm looking who they were able to hire. I believe it was Cody Flannoy. He's the head coach there, and he has been a guy that in his he was at Jackson for the past couple years, winning regions, being able to play well in the playoffs, winning back to back state championships for Jackson, and he's a guy that he's been in this area before with Beulah, but as this is going to be a tough team to beat. You have Bobby Coleman, the quarterback for the Red Devils, and he is one of the best quarterbacks in the state, committed to Georgia State to head up to Atlanta and join the Panthers. That's going to be a really, I think that's a good fit for him, and I think this is a good team. You have Ja'Tori Williams, the Miami commit, on that defensive or offensive line at the tackle position, who is just super uber athletic. You see him a lot during the basketball season. You can go back and listen to what Jacob and Jack had to say about that, about him, because he was just all over the court. But it's going to be interesting in year one with Patrick Nix stepping away, and I think believe doing it going into ministry. I mean, you look at him, he during his 5-year career from 2020 to 2025 as the head coach of the Red Devils, he went 65-14. He produced guys like Cam Coleman. He went 38-4 in the region, and that just, I mean, it is really hard to argue those numbers. I mean, I'd be very curious to see who those four losses are, because I believe a lot of them could be the Auburn Tigers with Coach Keith Etheridge and that group, and you're not going to have to go far to talk about them, but looking at what this team could be, Coach Nix, I mean, look at that offensive number. If you look, they had 3,000 points scored over those 5 years. In the playoffs, they were 16-5. They won state championship games. I mean, Coach Nix, when at Central Phoenix City, won the state championship in 2023 when he had Cam Coleman, and it's hard not to because that guy is really good, but looking at, yeah, they lost two games in region last season. I believe they might have lost one to, I want to say, like Enterprise or Opelika, if I remember correctly. So looking next at the next team in 7A, and well, it's a team that you know pretty well. Your hometown Auburn Tigers with Keith Etheridge, with Kaysen Meyer, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the state, or what at least should be in the conversation. I know that Gunnar Rivers is up there. Trent Seaborn is up there. Bobby Coleman as well. But it's going to be, you know, Daphne has a really good kid down there at the Bay. But Auburn, with this defense and Coach Scott Goolsby just continuing to reload, yes, you're missing Carnell Jackson, who is a key contributor on that defensive line. He goes to Kansas State after being committed to Arkansas for a long time. Funny enough, his former teammate, Kaysen Meyer, committed there this summer. Congratulations to Kaysen, who is one of, again, he's just an athlete. The way he's able to run the football, you saw it against Vestavia Hills if you were listening on Wings 94.3, which you should be doing all throughout football season. That's where you should be on Friday nights, either on Wings 94.3 or on AU 100, listening to the Lee Scott Sports Network and the Auburn High Sports Networks. You got to be listening to those. That's just go ahead and set your Friday nights. If you're not going to be in the stadium, you need to listen to those. And honestly, you might as well just not go to the stadium because you're going to get your best coverage there. But if you listen to that game, Kasten Myers was just all over the field, rushing well, playing well, and it's going to be very phenomenal play from him. So I think that this is a fair ranking for the Auburn Tigers, given the fact of looking who's around them. Vestavia Hills at the number four spot. And the Vestavia Hills Rebels are a team that Auburn knows pretty well. They played them over the past two seasons, going 2-1. You win the two in Duck Sanford Stadium, including a miraculous comeback, but a legendary comeback against the Rebels in Duck Sanford Stadium in the first round of the playoffs and the game of the week. And you lose the one at Vestavia, which there are some interesting reasons for that. The shoes for one of them, if you know, you know. But the Vestavia Hills Rebels, looking at what they've got to do this season and match that in a tough division in that Region 3, I believe. Yeah, Region 3. It's tough. They got to start out against Parker, and then they got to go to Alex City right up the road at Ben Russell. You have road trips to Thompson and Prattville, another team that we're going to have to talk about when you tell the story of 6A. And then, of course, you have Huver and Auburn's Week 1 opponent, Hewitt Trustful. And look, I mean, Coach Robert Evans and this team is such an interesting team because if you don't know, they run kind of like this option, misdirection, I'm not going to say gimmicky, but that's probably the best way to describe it, where they have a lot of gadget players, and Michael Taff, their quarterback there, is a phenomenal quarterback. I think one of the underrated guys in the state, a homegrown Vestavia Hills talent, and I think that's a team that I would not be surprised if they're top two in that region, and if they flip the third, it's because of a team like the Prattville Lions that could come up, or the Hoover Buccaneers that could come up. Rounding out the top five for Class 6A is the Opelika Bulldogs, another team with a new head coach. Keep in mind, guys, that with Patrick Nix leaving and a new head coach in Opelika coming in there, and I'm going to – his name coming from Catholic Montgomery, I believe, Mr. Jonathan Chandler, a coach that has been phenomenal while he was been there. He – is replacing Brian Moore, the head coach there, and who I like, Coach Moore. He will be down in Foley. I think that he will do really well there and try to invigorate the Bay. Yeah, goes 8-5 last season with Catholic Montgomery, did Jonathan Chandler. But you keep kind of the core of your team. You lose a couple guys here and there, but the Bulldogs it's really can they survive this schedule? Kind of the similar with what they've got going on. You've got to play versus Hoover. You have Enterprise, Phoenix City, and Jag all at home. You start the season out four straight home games, but then you travel on the road for your last five. That starts out with the 102nd Auburn-Opelika game on October 2nd. That's going to be a tough one. You got to go to Dothan High School with their Akil King, I believe, or Hill. He's the defensive back that's committed to Miami, the top player in the state of Alabama in this class. Dothan could be a good team, especially with the expanded playoffs. Smith Station, you got to go to Pratt. You got to go to Prattville in the year, and you got to cover at Carver Montgomery in the Crampton Bowl. So, the Bulldogs could be a team that could be good. I think they have the talent to be a top five team in these rankings, but do they have the schedule? I'm not really sure. Looking at the rest of the top 10, Hoover at number 6, tied with Spain Park, the newest team in 6A. They have some good talent. They have the Auburn commit, obviously, on the defensive line, Marquise Evans. And then you have Prattville at number 8, a team that a lot of people with DeSean Hall expect to step up this season. You have Gadsden City, another new team, kind of representing that North Region 4 at number 9. And then Carver Montgomery, the last team in Auburn's region in that top 10. So in that region, too, you have Phoenix City, Auburn, Opelika, Carver Montgomery. And that's just your top 4 teams. I think that's the same top 4 as last season. But looking as well, you have Hewitt Trustful, Baker, Dothan, Enterprise, Daphne, James Clemens, Mary Montgomery, and Foley all receiving votes. So, I mean, a lot of people are also very high on that James Clemens team. I've seen them up to top 5 in certain polls. but I don't think the Alabama Sports Writers Association would agree with that, and I wouldn't either. Looking at some teams of note throughout the public school classifications, because we'll be able to talk a little bit more about Lee Scott after the break. Clay Chartful, the easy number one team in 5A, they are just a team that's going to be very good. Sarah Land, Auburn's opponent in the last week of the season on that Thursday night of Halloween, they're number two. Again, another one that makes sense. You have Benjamin Russell out of Alexander City down at number four. Pike Road at number six. Russell County at number 10. Just some teams that Auburn fans might know pretty well, or at least in the area. Oxford, the home of Caleb Robertson, they are receiving votes. And looking across and continuing down, not a ton else in the immediate area. No Wetumpka, but they will be a good team. You'll be able to listen to them on the Wetumpka Sports Network with Mitch Petrie here locally. Looking in 4A, another Radio Alabama team, Central Clay County. They're number three in that division. Their defense is phenomenal. They're kind of like the Iowa of that division of, like, we're going to play you the toughest defense possible. And if we can get more than 15 points, we're going to win. They're phenomenal. And continuing down and scrolling through the classification list, in 3A, Plainview number one, and 4A, Williamson was number one, with a couple votes going here and there to some other teams. Plainview number one in 3A. Continuing through 2A, Piedmont, the number one team there in the public school classification. Lynette received a number one vote. Their defense, phenomenal. They are number seven in that poll. And then looking, Booker T. Washington actually received a vote in 3A. Good for them. I know that's local. And then 1A, you have Lochapoca at number 10, a team that Lee Scott plays in week two. That'll be a phenomenal one. The Wadley in that division is number two. That's another kind of local team. So the Eastern Alabama region is well represented in high school football. I mean, I think that this is a good year and a good opportunity for Keith Etheridge, where you have only, I believe, two of the top three teams in your region are getting new head coaches, and you're the third. I think that that's a big opportunity for this Auburn team, and I'll be able to talk about that. I think looking at the record, and if you could correct me if I'm wrong, again, phone lines are open, but looking here, the only coach that has beaten Keith Etheridge, which is one, in one game, is Ben Blackman, the head coach of the Enterprise Wildcats. Every single other coach, which was just Patrick Nix and Brian Moore, that it had beaten him in the regular season and the playoffs, has left. So Keith Etheridge is the most experienced head coach in this division. In my opinion, Keith Etheridge should be considered the best coach in this region, given the fact that he's actually competed in it. And I think Auburn is going to be able to use that to advantage with Will Wagner as the offensive coordinator, Scott Goolsbee as the defensive coordinator, and a phenomenal staff and a phenomenal talent base in the public school level. But folks, that's only one half of the rankings. With the new private school classification, there's some interesting rankings there, and we're going to have to talk about Lee Scott and see what happens there. I know Christian is not here to give you the most in-depth analysis, but obviously is someone that also cheers on the Warriors and is excited to see them and what they can do in Class 2A private. We'll take a look at their classifications and what the people of the Sports Writers Association has to say about the private school ranks. Stick with us. We're only 15 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
We're just off and running here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Trip Upton, no Christian Griffin today. He is wheels up and on the way back to Auburn from the West Coast. And on today's episode, we've been looking through the ASWA poll for high school football for the state of Alabama. Talked about the public school classifications, including some teams locally, as well as the Auburn Tigers. The Tigers ranked number three in the top class of Class 6A, and I told you why. I think that's a fair rating, and I think they could be higher if Keith Etheridge uses his experience in this area to his advantage and knocks off the newcomers and Jonathan Taylor and Fanoy out in Phoenix City. But now we take a look at the private school classifications. And some teams locally that I think could be really good. We'll start with the AISA, looking at some teams. They're Chambers Academy right down the road. They're the number one team in AISA. Not much we have to say outside of that, because I think that they are going to try and continue to dominate that division. Looking at Class Single A, again, not a ton of teams in the area, but Bayside Academy out of Fairhope, Alabama, is ranked number one there. And then you look up at Class 2A. And you think, okay, you know, Lee Scott, the Warriors, the Academy, and a team in a new division, sure, they got to travel on the road, but they could really make some noise. Jacob Osmond stepping up as the interim head coach. He is going to bring a new juice to the program. I mean, no disrespect to Coach Daniel, but I think that it's a different era in the Academy, and I think that that's something a lot of people should be excited about. But looking at this list, the sports writers of Alabama don't agree with that. They have McGill Tulin, again, a good team, as the number one team in Class 2A. They have 12 first-place votes, followed by St. Michael out of Fairhope, Alabama. That's Phillip Rivers' team, with Gunnar Rivers the quarterback, if you don't remember that. The defending, they runner-up to, I believe, 4A. And then you have Briarwood, Madison Academy, and Catholic Montgomery. Lee Scott will play two of those teams in Briarwood and Madison Academy this season. And look at what else they have on there. You have St. Paul's, a team out of Montgomery. They will not play the Lee Scott Warriors. John Carroll, a team that went 3-7 last season. And then UMS Wright, a team also receiving votes. So that was your top eight, really. And it is super surprising to me. And again, I'm sure a lot of our Warrior faithful and fans will be able to agree with me on this, is that I think that Lee Scott is one of the most dangerous teams in the North Division. Looking at, yes, they do have to travel up there, but I think that's going to make their home games even more impactful. That's going to be the farthest travel for every single team they have to play, is to come to the Academy and have to play a tough, tough Lee Scott team with a defense that's going to play for all four downs of the drive. Every single snap, you're going to get 100% effort out of them. And I asked Christian Griffin his thoughts, and he says that he thinks he definitely agrees with the idea that, yes, they should be. They're projected, I believe, fourth, and we're going to go to the playoffs given the new structure of what the playoff bracket would be. That's going to be a lot tougher for the Glenwood Gators, I might add, because they're going to be heading to Mobile every week, or Montgomery. But look, I think that what this team can be and what Lee Scott should be, this team should be getting a lot more respect. I believe they are a top five team in that division. And I know that it's loaded with, what, two Mobile teams or three Southern teams in the South Division, and then another two Mobile Montgomery area teams receiving votes. But I think that in their division, I think if you have to ask what the toughest road trip for Briarwood, for Madison Academy, has to be, for John Carroll, has to be, if they were having to go in any given season, if they were having to come to Lee Scott, they'd say Lee Scott. And that's just because I think the opportunity in front of the Warriors this season, and that's not something that they're going to shy away from. I'm sure that Coach Osmond is going to use this as motivational fuel, and he should, because I think that they are a lot better than a lot of people in there are giving them credit for. So we'll just have to find out on August 21st, because that's going to be the game for both teams that I think are going to dictate the season. The Auburn Tigers play the Hewitt Trustville Huskies, a team that lost to Opelika at home in the first round of the playoffs last season. Then Opelika team continued to get hot and then beat Auburn in the state semifinals. Hate to bring it up, but that's the case. And trying to rebuild there. Meanwhile, the Tigers are coming off, again, the playoff loss and looking to be good. Looking at for the Lee Scott Warriors, I mean, they were able to make the playoffs last season and then fell to a historically really, really good team in, I believe, Montgomery Academy. And that's going to just be a very big team for them. I mean, again, they start out against Glenwood. They're going to have to play a lot, and it's going to be a team that, Montgomery Academy, that is correct. And it's going to be nice for Lee Scott to play. It's going to be hard for the road trips. I know Christian Griffin has said that, but the home games are going to make it that much more impactful here. And it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be fun. You got to tune in. Wings 94.3, AU 100.3 for both the Auburn High and Lee Scott Sports Networks, respectively. And we're going to have to be able to we'll talk about it. We'll have Coach Keith Etheridge on. We'll have Coach Jacob Osmond on. And, you know, we'll be able to, throughout the weeks of games, talk to experts across the state, because I know Christian agrees with me being able to say that we want to give the best coverage, not only for kind of what we did yesterday with the coverage of the with Coach Charles Kelly. That's a great episode. If you hadn't listened to that episode, I highly recommend, once you're done listening, to hear as well as The Drive, who could be live from Business After Hours after Pythodge at Pythodge in downtown Opelika, by the way. So go check them out. Justin Ferguson and Don Dunn, they will be there. So y'all go say hello. Tell them Tripp sent you, and go talk to our amazing people about potentially becoming a friend and a sponsor here at the Auburn Network. But being able to, once you do that, go listen to yesterday's interview with Coach Charles Kelly. It was phenomenal. He gave us a lot that we're going to be looking forward to for the Gamecocks this season, so you're not going to want to miss it. But we're going to have that same level of coverage for our high school sports. We'll be starting our weekly Keith Etheridge and Jacob Osmond interviews, and hear what not only myself, but Jack Hutton, Caleb Robertson, Christian Griffin have to say about what's going on across the area, across this region, across 6A and 2A private, but also about what's going on across the state of Alabama, which, and I said in that interview, and I agree with it today, pound for pound, one of the best states in America in the high school football ranks. And if you don't agree with that, then you just haven't watched a game. Just saying it how it is. Music kicking us out of here, and another guy that's fired up that football season's here is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. We'll get his thoughts on fall practice, baseball facility upgrades, and a whole lot more. We're 30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line, and there's nowhere else that you need to be. Stick around.
On the Line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. No Christian Griffin, as he is still making his way over from the West Coast. Tripp Upton with you here in the studio, and we bring on a man that knows a lot about what's going on in Auburn athletics, Mr. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, I'm sure that you are just counting down the days till September 5th in Atlanta as fall camp has now started. It feels like, as Coach Golis said on Tuesday, it's Christmas morning here on the Plains.
Yeah, 30 days away now, and but who's counting? Like you said, everybody's excited about it, and I love the talk from the players and the coaches that, you know, this is real football time. All the talk is one thing, and you know, and now we get down to real football, and in 30 days we can actually see it on the field, which is what the coaches prefer, players prefer, and the fans prefer. So we're getting there.
For sure, Brad. And you know, it starts with fall camp. That's what's been the thing on what's really everyone has been talking about in Auburn over the past week. And, you know, as we've gone through the first 2 days, as well as hearing from Coach Golis on report day, kind of what are your initial thoughts as you've been able to observe what's going on here?
Yeah, I love the energy and the attention to not only detail, but intensity, the attention to intensity. The coaches aren't really, for lack of a better term, letting guys get away with not going full speed or with full intensity from the beginning. They're not giving away one rep. They're not giving away 1 minute, one period in practice. And I like that. I mean, football put the video out either earlier today or yesterday that, you know, where you have Coach Golis talking about how to play 15 or 16 games and run the ball and play Auburn defense. You've just got to play harder than everybody else for longer. And instilling that in the first period of a first practice makes a statement. So that's the first thing that jumped out to me. And, you know, they're still doing a lot of indie work. There's not a lot of, you know, and the pads aren't on. And there's still a long way to go on the runway. But what we can see so far is the attention to detail and the attention to intensity.
100%. I mean, that's what we were able to see this morning as well as yesterday out at the practice field. And kind of another thing that they're doing that's intentional and very that's gotten a lot of praise from not only Auburn media, but the players themselves is this idea of secluding the players, taking them to the Grand National Golf Resort and being able to have them. It's football. And then you go home and be able to sit in, remove themselves from the distractions of the day to day. Kind of what are your thoughts on that? And kind of what was your reaction when you heard that news?
Something that he's done at every place that he's been up to this point. He's done it, and we say that he's been a head coach now for 3 years at South Florida and now here, but he's done it the other 3 years. Just something to make sure everybody's on the stage. I mean, they're on campus most of the daylight hours, and then they just come back.
Brad, I think we might have lost him. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, I definitely agree as he's – hold on. We got him here. Give me 1 second. Brad, do we got you?
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, but
– no, was just saying that this is something he's done other times. It was successful. And, again, just a way to be putting the guys all in the same place at the same time and build the culture and build that togetherness and the connection. A connected team is going to perform better usually than a disconnected the same talent level. So that's the intention. I like it. Again, they're on campus most of the daylight hours. The resort is just a place where they go, at the end of the day, and they do some stuff at the beginning and the end at the resort. But most of the day they're on campus. But they're together at all times.
You know, and we've got Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, and Brad kind of looking at what Coach Golish is doing to set himself apart at this fall camp. Just what are some things that you've noticed, just even from a aesthetic difference from the previous camps under Brian Harsin, Hugh Freeze, and now to his Coach Golish running the camp? Is there anything that you've noticed that could separate what the past couple years have been for Auburn to what they're trying to get to in the next few years?
You know, that's a good question because it's hard to remember from one camp to the next. You always romanticize what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But I love when I watch practice and I see the small group teaching sessions. I mean, you can have so many coaches, so many volunteer assistants, so many people on the field working with these guys now that, you're able to, for instance, take the centers and the guards by themselves and do drills, and then do like the tackles and the guards by themselves. And then let's bring the centers and the guards and the tackles together. And like the small building blocks, remember when you played with Legos and you'd have the small ones and then you'd have the larger ones? They're starting with the small ones and working their way up to the larger ones in the team periods. I don't know that the other ones didn't do that, but it stands out to me that this staff does approach practice that way, building blocks up to the full team periods.
And Brad, another thing that we've been hearing from camp, and I've heard it from members of the media, I've seen it with my own eyes, is the body transformations and the guys that have either put on weight when they needed to put on weight or lost weight when they needed to lose weight. Have you seen a lot of that as well? And kind of what is your reaction to that?
I'll be honest. Again, we sort of romanticize that because it's what's happening now. I think everybody looks bigger. Everybody looks different. Every year we kind of think that. I do know that you've heard the players talk specifically about Coach Gio and the job they've done in the weight room. Jeremiah Cobb's put on 9 or 10 pounds of muscle. Elijah Melendez has gotten a whole lot bigger. Some of that's the focus of this staff on nutrition and rest and specifics of their workouts. I like those things. Again, I hesitate to make comparative statements, but I think what you're hearing from these players and what you're seeing from the approach makes a lot of sense. And, just like for all of us in everyday life, the amount of sleep we get and the food that we eat makes a big difference in how we feel and then how we go do our job on a day-to-day basis. So especially if you're in a field like this where it's athletic competition, makes a difference.
For sure, Brad. And speaking of competition, you look at kind of what some of the quote-unquote position battles that are starting to at least show themselves during the early part of fall camp. Was there any player that you were surprised or that jumped out to you in kind of the position they were during drills or the amount of reps they were able to get? Is there anyone that that jumped out to you as a guy that could be an under-the-radar player this upcoming fall that's really taking a big fall camp step over the past 2 days?
You know, I'm not sure if it's under the radar or not. Like Deshaun Spencer had such a good A-day, and we've seen in the periods that have been open to media, he's been running with the first team at slot. And so, but I don't know if that's a surprise, again, because the staff doesn't mind playing true freshmen, and he showed out at A-day. You know, other than that, I don't know. I don't know if we saw Chaz Nimrod being the number one receiver at this point, but I thought it was important that he went out for interviews yesterday after the first day, that he was one of the guys that was like, here are our leaders that didn't go to media days, and he was a part of that group. So, you know, beyond that, after 2 days, I don't know if there's anybody who's sticking out under the radar. I think as they put pads on and, you know, get a few more practices under their belts, then maybe you get a chance to see a few more of those.
We're talking with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And Brad, switching gears a little bit to basketball, looking at, and this affects all of college athletics, but the recent rulings with the fifth year of eligibility potentially being granted for athletes that graduated high school in 2022 and exhausted their last year this year, would it surprise you if Auburn football or Auburn basketball or Auburn baseball made a last-minute addition to their roster to be able to compete in this season?
It would surprise me if football did, just because rosters are pretty close to set. And as I understand the rule for eligible, they had to have entered the portal back in January anyway. Mm-hmm. And so for guys to have entered the portal but not have been claimed at this point, not have found a home, I don't know how many of those guys are out there. Again, that's my understanding of the rule. Basketball, maybe, but again, you know, I think they have an idea of where they want to go, and I don't know how many guys are out there still. Baseball could be a little bit different, especially with the new semester that starts in January. You could see guys with eligibility remaining less in baseball than it would in football or basketball. But I think, again, we still got to learn a lot about that ruling. And we've got, I mean, is the ink even dry on that ruling? Could they make other changes to it? I don't have those answers.
Right. I mean, it just feels like every week or every day there's some new eligibility courtroom drama where it just doesn't make any sense, but that's the rule. And so, I mean, you have to be able to take advantage of what the opportunity has if you have an opportunity to go make an addition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's if you need an addition. I mean, again, a lot of these rosters are set, and that's why I'd be surprised in football, because this group's been so focused on culture and coming together and being connected as a team that, you know, I just they've done so much work already to get to this point. So I'd just be a little surprised if anything was added at this point.
Brad, looking over at the Diamond and specifically Plainsman Park, which has become, and I think I would say my opinion, but I think it's just general opinion, one of the best ballparks in the SEC, thanks to not only the on the field play, but also the facilities that surround it. Some potential speculative additions were teased and released last Thursday, including a little Terrence area over the Josh Donaldson hitting facility, as well as some more addition to the Yeti Yard. Talk to me about the environment that Auburn is continuing to build at Plainsman Park.
Well, I don't think there's any question that that the people who are supporting the program and the educators who help lead the program, all the way to Coach Thompson, they're not like Auburn has every year enhanced the ballpark. They've enhanced the game day atmosphere, the game day experience. And just because they've done it the last several years doesn't mean that, all right, they've reached a stopping point. They've reached a place where they're happy and content. They are satisfied. And so they're going to keep pushing. They're going to keep pushing and keep pushing to Plainsman Park, the preeminent college baseball atmosphere in the country. It was at one point, 30 years ago, Auburn had the best ballpark in college baseball. and it's had some long-needed, unaddressed needs, and now those have been addressed, and now they're going to continue to push for more.
For sure. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And Brad, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us here on this Thursday afternoon, talk what's going on with fall camp and with baseball. So plug it all, my friend. Where can we find your work, not only with the Auburn Sports Network as it ramps up to the athletic season, but also anything else that you're doing outside of that?
Tiger Talk of the Year before we know it, and back to Bowers Victory Grill for talk when we get into the end. Until you can catch Village Vice, and I do Zach Blackerby 5 days a week on YouTube, on the Barn Auburn channel there, or wherever you get audio podcasts, just the Barn Auburn, that out, or the Barn Auburn.
All right, Brad, thank you so much for your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week, and I'm sure we'll see you around campus looking at, as we get ready and continue with fall camp towards the football season.
You got it, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Our concreted in 2:30 guests here on Thursday afternoons, giving us the latest on what's going on around the Auburn Tigers, Auburn High or Auburn Tiger baseball, football, basketball, you name it. Brad Law has the insight in everything going on there. We're gonna take a break. Come back and we'll talk about what the big event is August 22nd and 23rd at Neville Arena, as well as look at the 2027 class's blue chip ratio really quickly and see the Auburn Tigers outperforming some of their rivals. And I know that's going to fire up some Tiger fans to hear that. We'll be back to wrap up hour number one right after this. Stick with us.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Still no Christian Griffin. It's Trip Upton here with you in the studio. And I got sent this earlier this morning by, actually, we'll do the ad read first, because I think that this is important that you need to know, because Neville Arena is the place to be on August 22nd and 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles. Plus, some vendors are even going to have Pokemon cards. Neville Arena will play host to all of this. Plus, there will be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn will have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete this season for Auburn University Athletics. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance the experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of the Auburn Tigers? Then August 22nd and 23rd will be the fan experience for you. Aubie is going to be there as well, and for both days, and there will be a kids zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes along with the student athletes of today for the Auburn Tigers. That's ontovictory.com/card show. Card show is all one word. And I had my buddy Henry from Georgia sent me this week today about the 2027 recruiting class of the blue chip ratio. So if you don't know what the blue chip ratio is, it's another one of those made up statistics that tells you a lot, but also really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. It tells you how well you're doing and how talented you on paper your roster is. And this is for the 2027 recruiting class in the blue chip ratio. And this is this doesn't take into account the number of recruits you have. This takes into account how good those recruits are. So you cannot have a lot of recruits, but because they're top highly rated, they're going to get a bump, and they're going to be you're going to get a plus. And a blue chip recruit is a 4- and 5-star. So at the top of the list, you have the LSU Tigers at 75%. And this is a team that, with under Lane Kiffin, they've got some juice. They've got some swagger. They're the hot team on the block and the shiny new toy in the heavyweights of college football. And so they're going to get a lot of the big recruits. Louisiana is another one of those states that I don't think gets talked about enough for high school talent. And even if they're three stars, if they're Louisiana, you know they are fast and they are ready to play some ball. Texas A&M at 73, the Florida Gators at 68, the Texas Longhorns at 64, the Ole Miss Rebels at 59, and then you get down to number six on the list. And it's the Auburn Tigers at a 56% blue chip ratio percentage. And what that means is that 56% of the players committed. So I believe at a class of about 22, 23, again, not good to be doing math live on the air, but would it be about 11, 12 players that are committed to the Auburn Tigers, maybe 13, that are considered as a blue chip recruit? That is higher than schools like Georgia, who is right below them at number 7 with 50%. Oklahoma at 48%. South Carolina at 47. Tennessee at 42. Missouri at 42. And then you look in the back half of the SEC and you get down to number 11. And that's going to be the Alabama Crimson Tide with a huge drop at 29%. And I know it's a small recruiting class, but that honestly should make it even more concerning. I know they have guys like Cedric Simmons that are underrated, and they're going to get the four-star bump. They're going to get the Bama bump, as a lot of people in Auburn like to talk about. You just wait and watch it happen. But at 29%, they're only 1% better than Kentucky, with Will Stein, the new head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. They're only 5% above Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. If Alabama, who is under Nick Saban, consistently you're going to have a top five class. Go ahead, just put them in there. They're going to have a top 8 to 5 class in the country. If that continues and this number doesn't get any better, and there's not a lot of these guys that are committed that are 4 and 5 stars that are uncommitted. Yeah, sure, flip season is going to be upon us this fall and this winter. But if Alabama can't raise that ratio, I think people are going to get concerned in Tuscaloosa, and it's not going to have that what Hugh Freeze had the past couple years of, well, the recruiting's so good, let's just see if it plays out. It'll be you're not recruiting well, and if you don't have a good fall, that number could go down. There could be a new head coach in Tuscaloosa. Arkansas rounds out the list at 4%, by the way. Ryan Silverfield, his lack of aura might be catching up here on the recruiting trail. But music kicking us out of here in hour number one. In hour number two, we'll talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and give you some raw reactions from fall camp. No Christian Griffin, but it's Trip Upton here. Stick around. Hour number two when we get back.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Fall camp is upon us. We give you live reactions. And what is Thomas Castellanos trying to do now? It's Thursday and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. No Christian Griffin. He is probably thousands of feet in the air, traveling over the Rocky Mountains, heading back from San Francisco. So he will be back with us tomorrow. Don't you fret. But I'm here and with you in the studio for the next hour as the main host. It's been fun solo hosting this week. It definitely was a Monday. I got here. I did it. And I was like, okay, That was awful, and I hope that it was good for you guys. But we got it. We figured it out. We got our mojo, as Austin Powers would say, and got into a swing of things. And we're having fun here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. So I appreciate you spending your time listening to me talk about some sports. And we'll have Christian Griffin back to talk with us tomorrow and kind of recap everything that we just talked about throughout the week and what happened for him in California. And hour number one, we reacted to the Alabama Sports Writers Association poll for high school football, talked about the Auburn Tigers, talked about why they need to be respecting the Lee Scott Warriors a little bit more, in my opinion, talked about what's going on around Region 2 in 6A now, the top division in high school football in the state of Alabama, as well as what's going on in 2A private. And just kidding, what's going on around the state with a lot of our local teams? We talked about that. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joined us. We talked about fall camp this morning. We talked about what has been happening in college athletics, as well as the Plainsman Park potential additions. And then we looked at the blue chip ratio for Auburn's 2027 class and why the Tigers have some stuff that they're going to be able to do this season. Always that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, guys, go make sure to check out the podcast edition of the show on ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your audio podcast, because there was a great one from yesterday. If you've not heard the Charles Kelly interview, I highly recommend you go do that. And once you're there, you can, if you miss any of the first hour, you can listen to that. You can also listen to The Drive later live from Pythodge in downtown Opelika. Justin Ferguson, Coach Don Dunn, as Bill Cameron will call in on his way to a Guess the Who concert, I believe it is. And so he will be able to join us and be able to talk about what's going on there on The Drive, what he was able to get from fall camp. I was able to be down there with him this morning, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but make sure you check that out. And hour number two, we're going to give you our thoughts on fall camp as well, and looking at what this new recent attempted ruling by Thomas Castellanos is trying to get that would make the transfer portal and what this fifth year magically added back for a lot of college athletes could allow them now to transfer, and that would just be a domino effect. And I, we thought we were done with court rulings, and that it was going to be the time to play on the field. We'll have to wait and see if that's the case. But we'll talk to Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, as he reports live from a interesting location. He teased to me in our just when we confirmed the interview, and be able to talk about what's going on in fall camp across the Southeastern Conference. So going to be a great hour number two. Phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes. If you've got an opinion on fall camp, on anything that we're talking about with the fifth year athletes, anything about high school football earlier, anything that you want to talk about, the phone line is open at 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box unfortunately closed with Christian being in the air, but normally you can find that at 334-784-1685. The Send Medicine text box is brought to you by Send Medicine, obviously. You get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting sendmedicine.com, S-E-N-N medicine.com. And we start out today's the hour number two with a breaking news that came across just about, let's see, I think as we started the show or an hour before we started the show, 12:51 earlier today. And it involves a certain quarterback that fans of the Alabama Crimson Tide for sure, but also the Auburn Tigers, because there was talks of him potentially transferring to Auburn in the 2025 offseason, Mr. Thomas Castellanos. And according to Pete Nakos, according to On3, Mr. Castellanos is filing a lawsuit against the NCAA and seeking an injunction for a fifth year, which, according to the Colorado ruling made in the U.S. District Court by Judge Charlotte Sweeney, would allow him to, but it is to allow him to enter the transfer portal. Now, if you remember correctly, if you remember what we talked about Monday and Tuesday about the ruling, and Judge Sweeney, I want to say Coach Sweeney so bad, and he would not make that decision given his thoughts on the transfer portal and all of this eligibility nonsense. But if you were to remember back, after the initial ruling on late Friday, she actually gave a clarification, gave a statement saying, okay, just before that, the floodgates open up, let's put up a couple ground rules. And one of those ground rules was the idea that players that had not entered the transfer portal by the time that their transfer portal eligibility ended would not be allowed to transfer. You'd have to stay with the university that you were enrolled in at the time. And if you were to come back and utilize your fifth year, as we've started to see across college athletics, not only for football, basketball, and baseball, potentially baseball, but also in a lot of the Olympic sports, soccer, gymnastics, volleyball. I see even so many TikToks of people talk about, man, I just started my corporate job, but I just got a text from my coach saying that there's a fifth year available. Ugh, I could not imagine that, having to sit there and be and realize what you could have. I mean, and we'll see a lot of that, I'm sure, at those levels of sports. Maybe not soccer or volleyball with their seasons kicking off, with Auburn soccer kicking off next Wednesday, by the way. We're going to have James Armstrong and a couple players on our show on Tuesday, so make sure to listen in for that. And then volleyball kicks off the week after that. We'll see if we definitely try and bring some of their people on from there. But what the ruling said is that you could not just jump in the transfer portal. You could not just go, oh, I have an extra year? Okay, who wants me? I got $5 here at Florida State. I got $10,000 here at Northwestern. I got $30,000 from Texas Tech. And you know what? Put it all on black if you're going to be Texas Tech. But if you are Thomas Castellanos, he believes that, you know, I should be allowed to transfer. I was not allowed to enter the transfer portal because I was out of eligibility. And what he is effectively trying to do in his basic statement, it's because that he only, and he also is applying to this because of the idea that he is trying to enter the transfer portal. And I think that is, for a business sense, is really good for him. But he just wants to be – he started to receive preliminary interest from a range of schools. Would not surprise me if Texas Tech is on that list. I know that they say they're happy with Will Hammond, but if they were happy with Will Hammond, they wouldn't have brought in Brendan Sorsby. I would not be surprised if – I don't think Alabama would take him. I think that'd be really funny if they did, given the fact that he was able to beat them in Doak Campbell Stadium last season. But I'm trying to think what other teams would be interested. I think he could do well at Georgia Tech, but I think that they're going to roll with Alberto Mendoza, and they should roll with Alberto Mendoza. But it would not surprise me to see Tommy Castellanos being picked up by a Power 4 team if this injunction goes the way that he thinks it will. And given the NCAA and their inability to really enforce this kind of stuff, I think that's a very valid opinion to have. I think he's going to have a chance. I think that he is going to be, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And he already tried to apply. If you remember back to December, he applied for a fifth year of eligibility saying, oh, I only played 5 games at UCF. I only played almost half the season. I should get another year of eligibility. And obviously that got quashed. But I don't, which is ridiculous because you know what the redshirt rule is. It's 4 games. But he played 5. So maybe you're hoping that one extra game wouldn't hurt you at the end of the day. It just doesn't make any sense. I'd be very curious, and you're going to have to stick with us to be able to hear throughout the next couple days and about the next week or so what's going on with this ruling. But if that happens, if they are allowed to enter the transfer portal, I think you'd go from maybe less than 100 players, maybe closer to 50 players across college football. And there's going to be a second spring mini portal. And now the cascading effect, what concerns me, is if you are a player and, well, you know, he just got into the transfer portal, why don't I enter the transfer portal and see what I can do? I mean, again, we're going to be right back to where we were a year ago with eligibility lawsuits out the wazoo. And being able to transfer whenever you want. It just takes one judge that you like and filing it in a court that you think is good. And they're going to have to. I don't think Thomas Castellanos is going to go back to Florida State, mind you. I think that he is going to be able to be a he's able to be a guy that could play But, I mean, we'll have to see. I don't think Auburn is going to be, as Brad Law said, I don't think Auburn is affected by this whatsoever. You're not going to see Thomas Castellanos in an Auburn Tiger uniform. I can book that. And they're not going. He's not going to go back to Florida State because Asher Daniels is there. You can book that. But we'll have to see. Texas Tech is an option that jumps out to me. Kansas, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Jalen Daniels now in the NFL. Maybe. You know, you could see like a good group of five team. Imagine he goes is a backup. But if there's not a strict no, but there is a yes, and there's not a strict timeline, what happens if Byron Brown I said it earlier, what happens if like a Byron Brown goes down, or like an Ashton Daniels goes down for Florida State, or even like a if you get to week four and you're Alabama and Keelan Russell and Austin Mack are clearly not ready. Hey, Thomas Castellanos, do you want to take these classes? I know it's halfway through the semester, but, like, why not? That's a possibility. And it's also so frustrating, given the fact that a lot of these universities start class next week. Auburn University starts class in, I believe, 2 weeks. I know I think they have sorority work week right now, so, I mean, if that tells you what kind of year it is, sorry if there's any traffic downtown, that's why. But if guys can enroll halfway through the semester, it just continues the thrashing and the put down its and the just overall disregard for the student part of student athletes. If you could sign to a school midseason, enroll in classes, what's the point in being in class when if you don't sign up on the deadline, if you're a normal college student, you don't get to be in the classes? Sorry, buddy. Enjoy intro to pottery making at 8 a.m. If you don't sign up when you're supposed to, but Thomas Castellanos can enroll in whatever class he needs to, probably a lot of online classes, just to call it what it is. He can enroll anytime he wants, because at the end of the day, football matters more than college for a lot of these guys. And football and athletics reign supreme when it comes to college, and the student part of student athletes is no more. It's ridiculous. And we'll see as we continue the professionalization and the breakaway from the NCAA, it's not going to matter. It's not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to enforce it. So now it is in the ever prevalent, ever genius, ever always right United States government system. I just want to get to the real football. I just want to be able to talk about sports, not have to talk about law. I'm not a lawyer. But, you know, my parents wanted me to study law because they said, wow, you're really opinionated. Wow, you're really good at talking. But I didn't want to do that. I want to talk sports. And instead, I'm talking law. I'm talking looking at legal injunctions. That's what all college reporters and all of us are having to look at, because the NCAA can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. But we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. Let's just get to football season. That's all I ask for. Let's ignore it. Let's just focus on playing football in 2026. But luckily for us, that's what the Auburn Tigers are doing. That is what they are trying to do. With fall camp here, day two wrapped up today, and we're going to be able to give you I was able to see this morning, give you some audio that Bill Cameron was able to play for us, and we'll have that for you on the other side of this break as we are only 15 minutes in to the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around. We'll give you the latest from fall camp.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Continuing our way here in hour number two on the Thursday, August 6th edition of On the Line. Trip Upton here with you in the studio. And this morning, we were able to head out to fall practice, be able to see for about 30 minutes or so about what this attempt to revitalize Auburn's program, the attempt to be elite, as what Alex Golish is saying. And got to see a little bit of that this morning. They had media availability a little bit later, and luckily we had Bill Cameron of The Drive there, able to get us some audio from that. So we're going to play some here in a minute from Joe Simmons, the offensive lineman, just to give you guys some O-line content here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I know Spectre will be a little happy with that, going to hear his answers to the questions that were asked of him. But looking at what this team could be and looking at the opportunity that these guys have is going to be really interesting. I thought looking today, just raw reactions from what I was able to see, the dudes on that team are very, like I say, the dudes on the team are big, and you're going to sit here and roll your eyes and they're like, oh, that's obvious. But just the physical shape they're in, it wasn't like anyone was huffing and puffing. It was that they were giving their 100% effort. I was really impressed by Jared Smith, defensive lineman for the Tigers, and a guy that I have pegged as one of the breakout stars of 2026 on the defensive line. Watched him do some drills where you had to do like the side lunges, shuffle over, and then be able to kind of put the hand where the hands were, just be able to hit them and knock them down and get around and turn quickly. And he was a boy among men a man above men out there. I mean, was head and shoulders the tallest guy on that area, but was the fastest, was the strongest, and a guy that he's been a part of winning cultures at Thompson, and he is going to try and bring that to the Plains here. And as he kind of becomes a full-time starter, kind of trying to fill the hole that Keldrick Falk left on that defensive line. You saw Malik Autry. Bill and I talked about in the parking lot there about how he is just changed his body and bought in, and he looks like a defensive edge, but yet has the size and the quickness of an edge with the size of a lineman. Like, he has been phenomenal. The local kid out of Opelika, he's going to be a force in that defensive line. And, you know, you look at the receivers look good. You heard a lot about Chaz Nimrod, Deshaun Spencer, Neptune and Singleton. And you look at, you know, even guys like Brady Marchese impressed me today, running through some drills. Guys that like Bryce Kane impressed me today as well. And guys that are looking really good. I mean, Omar Mabson looks like a grown man now, and he just turned 18. So they've bought into the physicality, and all the players you heard about Brad talk about, they talk about how much faster they are, how much stronger they are. And you're going to hear that in every media camp, in every fall practice, in every single sport. Not just football. But I think the Auburn Tigers really mean it. And you heard Alex Golish today talk about, yeah, you know, if we drop a ball, everyone has to do push-ups, myself included. That fires me up. It's accountability. They're not passing the buck off to the players like I think some other coaches would do. They're not passing bucks off to the referees. They're not passing bucks off to the boosters, to the administrators, to anybody. They're controlling what we said all week, what I say every time. It's controlling what you can control and being responsible for what you are responsible for. And the group that's going to be the biggest difference maker for the Auburn Tigers this year, and a group that really needs to make a step, just to call a spade, is the offensive line. And today, with one of the player and media availabilities, Joe Simmons was able to talk to the media. Here's what he had to say, courtesy of Mr. Bill Cameron.
How's it gone? How do you feel like the offensive line's done these first couple
days? It's gone better. I sit over there. I think obviously the speed's a little faster because we haven't really blocked the defense all summer. But I think getting today, we saw like a big step forward, just getting the speed. And I think we've taken a massive step from the spring. So I'm excited to see how we do the rest of the football.
Joe, are you working left and right or mostly left? Or worse, where you lined up?
I really work wherever they put me. You know, right now I've been at left, but, you know, it's really wherever they put me.
You feel more comfortable in either spot?
I can play both, so I'm comfortable wherever.
There we go. What's the hotel experience been like staying off campus and the roommate experience, too? It seems like that's a pretty planned out thing for you guys. Who are you rooming with?
It's like this year we're doing like old and young guys, so I got Parker Pritchett, and he's a blast to be with. Granted, we're not in the room that much, so we're kind of, it's like get in the room, we're all asleep, so it really hasn't been that much. So, but the hotel, you know, it's good to get away. It is 20 minutes away, so that's kind of, 5:40 in the morning. So that's kind of a little tassel dealing with that. But it's nice to just get out and, like, be out, be away. So, and it's nice. We were in dorms last year, so I'm glad to be in a hotel with room service. So,
Jacob Strand's a guy you got to see a little bit of in the spring. Mm-hmm. What have you seen out of him from the summer now starting practice as one of those guys?
Strand's a guy, you know. And it's good to have him back and practicing in fall camp. And, you know, he's probably has, like, one of the best techniques out of the O-line. And he's really out there proving it. And I'm excited to see him play in pads. And I love Strand. So excited to see him back out there. And it's good talking to him.
How good is it to have Stan out here as well full-time?
And that's Joe Simmons on the offensive line for the Auburn Tigers. And look, I think that this group, and with him and the honesty of him saying, like, hey, I can play wherever they need me. I want to be able to play wherever is necessary for us to win. And listening to what the coaches have to say, what the respect that they're able to bring is something that I think a lot of players are going to be able to implicate throughout what we've heard out of spring. We heard a little bit from Chaz Nimrod yesterday. Cole Best as well did really well from what I understand, what I was able to listen to there. Also really big to hear today from Byron Brown as well as Coach Golish. That was good. We'll have to probably play some of that audio tomorrow with what is all going on there. It's been a big camp for the Auburn Tigers. They're just trying to set the foundation, get ready. We talked about this today when I filled in for Christian on the Max Roundtable with Doug Amos, who is before us on ESPN 106.7. Always make sure to shout him out and check him out, that he hands the baton, as we like to say, off to us. And in between, you know, jabs at my golf game, apparently. Shout out Mr. Ben Taylor for letting him know that I am bad at golfing, which is true. I'm not going to admit that I'm not, but we're getting there. But being able to, you know, talk about what this fall camp means, what the expectations are, and it's the build consistency, you know. And Doug asked me kind of what the idea is of the consistency, and I said, you know, Auburn has been consistent. They've been consistently bad. 7 lost seasons pretty much since 2020 every single year. Auburn's got to do something different. And, you know, Doug took it as more of a, well, you have to be good before you could be great. But the easiest way to get there is in the pursuit of greatness, the pursuit of excellence. You know, if you shoot for the moon, even if you don't make it there, you land in the clouds. I think that that's a quote that everyone should aspire to. And, you know, I don't think that settling for mediocrity or even for a year and building that foundation, you're going to get there a lot quicker going, trying to be an elite team rather than settle. I mean, you look at what Hugh Freeze said last season. Hey, we're just trying to get to a bowl game. That's not good enough for the fan base. That's not good enough for the boosters. That's not good enough for the alumni. It's not good enough for the players. It's not good enough for the coaching staff. It's not good enough for Auburn. And being able to be a program that can compete consistently. I'm not saying that, you know, it would be nice that we're in 5 years that Alabama's fear in the thumb again. It'd be nice to beat Georgia for the first time since 2017, 2018. It'd be awesome to win the Iron Bowl for the first time since 2019. All of these things can be true, and yes, that's what I'd like to happen. But to get there first, you got to be a good team, and the way you get to be good the quickest is trying to be great. That's just kind of the fact of the matter. Speaking of greatness, a guy that knows all about it and is great in this space and one of those knowledgeable people in the Southeastern Conference, Mr. Chris Gordy, it joins us here momentarily, and he's in an interesting place that we're going to be able to talk a little bit about, and remind you that football starts tonight. What do I mean by that? He'll have to tell us. Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Continuing our way here through hour number two on the Wednesday edition, or Thursday edition, rather, of On the Line. It's been one of those weeks for sure. Time flies when you're having fun. And speaking of having fun, we're joined by our normal, concreted in 3:30 guest on Thursdays, Mr. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, sounds like you're going to be covering some football tonight out in Canton, Ohio. What's going on up there?
Yeah, coming to you from where all the football season will get started. Pro Football Hall of Fame game, which of course is that week zero game where nobody consequence will be. Although it will be, who is it? Carson Beck is expected to get the start for the Arizona Cardinals. So former Georgia turned Miami player will get the start there, and I think it's Kennedy on the other side for the. Yep, first time here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, second every round, and signals to start a football season. By the way, Tripp, I know you're pretty much for you. Can you name the two Auburn Tigers who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think you'd have to say, looking at, oh, gosh, I didn't know I was being put on the spot here. I'm not Googling it. Don't worry. I'm thinking. I mean, I don't think Bo Jackson would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, especially pro football, right?
No, I mean, the one you would probably have the best chance at is Kevin Green, of course, former backer, defensive end who was 2016 and actually passed away in 2020. And then the really hard one is Frank Gatz, former center who went undrafted in 1946. So, there's Willie and former lineman should be next year, so maybe Auburn can get a third one in there. But trivia for
you. Yeah, you know, Chris, I'm just surprised that you're going to go to a Hall of Fame game to watch three ACC quarterbacks and Kenny Pickett, Carson Beck, and Haynes King play for that. I mean, it's given the fact that you're just the premier SEC guy in the sport.
Well, the only thing that's very interesting, I think I heard Pat McAfee say this. Earlier today, if the Cardinals get the ball first, the Carson Beck throws the first pass, and this will be the first time ever that the player who threw the last pass of the football season will throw the first pass of the NFL, so kind of interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is really interesting. And Chris, speaking of interesting, nothing's more interesting than college football, in our opinion, especially in the Southeastern Conference. And fall camp kind of kicking off. We have Georgia kicking off this week. Auburn kicked off this week as well. What intel are you hearing from across the Southeastern Conference and what's going on at these fall camps?
I thought it was interesting here at Alex Gold. He's, you know, going to take the team away, almost like a pro football minicamp kind of thing where, you know, we've seen teams before. You know, they're right there in West Virginia. We've seen football teams who do that. They get away from all the distractions and develop some camaraderie. And it sounds like that's what all she's doing and taking the team in the hotel the next 13 days and keeping up with football. So I thought that was a really cool, you know, storyline around, you know, FCC circles, quarterback battles. All eyes are on Tuscaloosa now. Happened there in the Keelan Russell versus Austin Mack battle. The battle away between Fairhanden and George Mayer. That's one to watch. And another to keep an eye on is Vanderbilt. A weeks ago, this had a really start this Vanderbilt over five-star freshman Jared Curtis. Now, Clark Lee said a few days ago, he expects they're going to have a script week, and he likes the first scrimmage. So, rest of the seat there. And by the way, if you have Vanderbilt on your schedule, it matters. Maybe you get an undermanned Vandy team with, you know, a very green Jared Curtis early in the season, or maybe a Blaise Burlowitz. So kind of interesting to get on the schedule this year. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, what's going on in Arkansas, it sounds like, you know, KJ Jackson is still battling for that job, but it loses. So, and then the Florida one between checks out.
Yeah, Chris.
Quarterback battle going on.
Yeah, for sure, Chris.
Yeah,
I think you're cutting a little bit in and out, Chris. Just if you can be able to step outside any or something like that. I know that you're calling in from Canton, Ohio, and this is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, talking with us. And Chris, another question that I think a lot of people are wondering is with the, you know, looking at the Tigers, I know you mentioned about the secluded camp, and have you heard anything given the fact of what some contributors that you're looking forward to in some position battles outside of just quarterback in Auburn? I mean, I think Byron Brown is pretty set, but what you expect to see from fall camp in terms of position battles for the Auburn Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see which of the wide receivers all emerge and who's going to be the go-to guys. I mean, they've got a hodgepodge of a bunch of different dudes there. I mean, I think most people think it'll be the USF guys, you know, in Koger and Singleton and Nimrod kind of stepping up there. But I've had people at Media Days raving to me about Jonathan Echols at tight end, that they think that he could be breakout star this year in the SEC. I think we all feel really good about Jeremiah Cobb, and Omar Mapson's another guy that I really want to see get some looks and get some touches. But outside of that, I think the defense is pretty well settled. It was kind of interesting when we interviewed Champ Anthony at Media Days, because he's a guy who may not even start on the base defense for Auburn. He'll play, he'll rotate in, he'll play a lot, but and then the D-line. I heard so many good things in the spring about Cody Sigler. We know how good Deshaun Womack is, along with Xavier Atkins. So, I think most of Auburn's position battles are kind of sorted out. I don't think there's any that we're really looking at and go, man, I don't know who's going to win that job. I think we feel pretty good. And the secondary, Pleasant and Andre Jordan, I feel pretty good about those two guys. So I think most of the battles are kind of figured out at this point.
Chris, looking at kind of to take a step back and look at what college athletics, you have the most recent ruling here in college football and really just college athletics in general with Judge Charlotte Sweeney of the Colorado District Court saying, if you graduated high school in 2022 and you ran out of eligibility, you now get a fifth year in accordance to what the 5-for-5 rollover has been. Did that surprise you at all? And do you think that there could be any big name athletes on the move throughout or that could be coming back to the SEC this year?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part is I think they came back and said, you can't enter the transfer portal that even if you're getting that extra year of eligibility, you miss the window to enter the portal. And so if you do get another year, it'd have to be back at the school that you played at. Now, a bit of a problem there because they said that if you do come back, do you have a roster spot? Does that team have a roster spot for you? So that's where it gets a little sticky. I don't know. This is going to be really interesting. I think that's what kind of escalated that ruling last Friday. It's what kind of escalated the SEC and the Big Ten to change course and jump on board with the Protect College Sports Act to try to get this thing rolling. And, it sounds like there's going to be a big push over the next 48 hours to try to get a lot of those politicians on board and vote for this thing. So it'll be fascinating to see. But it's just, again, it's the epitome of what are we doing here? I mean, they put in a ruling and say, hey, moving forward, you get five seasons to play 5 years, and that's it. No red shirts. No medical red shirts and all this, and then we're going to get a judge go, well, what about the kids who just graduated? Doesn't matter. They're done. Their eligibility ran out. This is a new rule starting today. We don't get to go back in time and create rules, but this is the problem with the sport is everybody wants everything to apply to them, and when they don't like it, they just run to a judge to go get a ruling in their favor.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, I don't know if you've seen it in the past couple hours. Another injunction has been filed by probably the biggest name floating out there that could be one of these guys, former Florida State, UCF, and Boston College quarterback Thomas Castellanos. About 2 hours ago, is filing a motion to basically allow him to transfer now that he's gotten his fifth year of eligibility. Florida State has Ashton Daniels. They're content with Ashton Daniels. He's now looking to transfer and play somewhere else. What programs do you think could be interested in someone like that coming in midway through fall camp? I mean, potentially depending on the university and the timeline while there are classes starting. Talk to me about do you think any programs would be interested in this guy?
Yeah, you talk about get really awkward. I mean, everybody at this point, look, we're less than a month of the season starting. I mean, everybody's got their starting quarterback at least figured out or quarterback battles. So that's a tough one. And he's going to have to get a ruling that he can transfer. We'll see what happens with that. But, I'm sure there's some coaches out there who'd be like, look, we'd love to have him. But at this point, it's too late in the game. I mean, if this had been 3 months ago, then sure, there would have been a lot of suitors at his door, but very awkward situation because I don't know what coach wants to, spite his quarterbacks on the roster and say, hey, let's bring in this guy, Thomas Castellanos. He's better than what we have on our roster. It's just really, really awkward. So, man, I'll be really curious to see where he ends up. I'll tell you this, nowhere in the SEC. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I would be surprised with that as well. Taking a look here at they put out, I think it was Rivals or On3 this morning, put out a graphics talking about the blue chip ratio. And you look at Auburn, they're sitting at that 56% mark, one of the top ones in the SEC. How much does this ratio actually matter in the grand scheme of things and what recent college football has looked like?
Well, if you go by, you know, the metrics and the numbers, it seems like at least the teams that have won the national championship over the years, more often than not, have a ton of those blue chips on the blue chip ratio. And I think Indiana was probably one of the first ones to buck that trend, just in terms of, and they're starting to recruit at a high level now. So, but I don't know how many 4 or 5 star recruits they would have had on their team last year, but. Yeah, for years, that was kind of what it was, from Georgia to Alabama to Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, all those teams that win in recruiting, I mean, it's real rocket science to figure this out. If you recruit at a high level and you put together a bunch of top 10 recruiting classes, chances are you're going to have a chance to win a national championship. So that's kind of all it is, but it certainly does open your eyes when you see some of the teams on that list. I mean, if BYU is making a run up there, I don't know. I mean, do some of those teams have a realistic chance at winning a national championship? We'll find out. But like I said, it feels like Indiana is the first team to really buck that trend when it comes to the blue chip ratio.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, one last question before we get you out of here. Looking at basketball, Auburn basketball currently in Greece, looking and playing in that kind of that Mediterranean region for an international tour. Auburn's been known to do this, heading to Israel in the past couple of years. Are you a fan of these kind of tours, or do you prefer just a normal fall camp before a basketball season?
Yeah, like I said, it's kind of the same idea of taking the team and staying at a hotel. You know, being all together on a road trip like that outside of the country, it could create camaraderie and chemistry and all that with each other. And so I don't think there's a problem with it. I know Calipari used to do it, you know, every now and then when he was at Kentucky. And I think he just took Arkansas down to the Bahamas last week. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The only thing I would not want to see is, you know, taking away home games from fans and that sort of thing. But it is interesting, you know, we talk about where does that money come from? Who's paying for the international travel for all these players to go over there, because that ain't a cheap trip. But at the end of the day, look, we'll see what happens. Look, Auburn, they were lacking some chemistry last year for albeit even a team that made a run through the NIT. They've got to figure some things out and come together more cohesively, and maybe this will help them do that.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, thank you for joining us, as you do so well, at 3:30 on Thursdays. And Chris, tell all the people what they need to be listening to, what you have going on, as you produce some of the best coverage across the entire Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. We've got, last couple of days, some reports from the latest news going on around spring practices in the SEC, and still bringing some interviews from our SEC Media Days as well. Yesterday we had some Alabama interviews. Today we had some LSU. So check that out, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast.
Chris Gordy, thank you for talking to us, and enjoy the Hall of Fame game, and enjoy and you'll be able to learn it firsthand why they call the ACC the Conference of Quarterbacks. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell them to fix their cell service here in Canton, too.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Have a good one, man. We'll talk to you next week. That's Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and the guest here at 3:30 on Thursday afternoons. We'll take a break, come back, let you know about the best event happening the weekend of August 22nd and 23rd inside Neville Arena, as well as wrap up the show and wrap up what's been a pretty solid solo week with Christian Griffin coming back tomorrow. We'll be able to wrap up and talk all about it when we get back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. It's been a good week. It's been fun. I know we have still another day. We have a free-for-all Friday of a day, but it's been fun being able to be here and be solo manning the booth in the studio. It's been kind of odd, but you know what? Hey, I hope it's made for good content, good radio, getting some good interviews done, and it's been good practice for me. I know I've had fun, so I hope you guys have been able to tell that here. And speaking of fun, Neville Arena is the place to be, guys. August 22nd and 23rd. We've said it all week. We've said it a little bit last week as well with the Cards and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. There's going to be a two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles, and Pokemon cards as well. Nibble Arena will play host to all of the above. Plus, there's going to be celebrity autograph signings from Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete for the Auburn Tigers this season. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance your experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or a fan of the Auburn Tigers? Then on August 22nd and 23rd, that two-day experience will be unlike any other. Aubie's also planning on being there and for both days. There's going to be a kid zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/cardshow, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes along with the Auburn student athletes of today. That's ontovictory.com/cardshow. Card show is one word. And as the minutes count down, and I'd love for you to join us as well for the a remote for the drive 4-6 right here on ESPN 106.7. On the other side of this next break, it's at Pythodge Custom Homes hosting the Chamber Business After Hour. So I highly recommend you tune into that. It'll be Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer and Coach Don Dunn. We'll get a little bit here on the phone from Bill Cameron as he makes his way to a Guess the Who concert. That man, Bill Cameron, I mean, he is just a music aficionado. I'll have to find some time at some point in the near future just to sit down and talk music with him, because I'm sure he's got some great classic recommendations as when he was in his heyday. It still is in his heyday, still in his prime, but would definitely be a good conversation. But so stay tuned, stick around for that. If you're going to be in the area and you're a business owner, go check it out. Go say hey to Coach Dunn. Go say hey to Justin. Go say hey to the main man, Steve Witten. Miranda on the sales team. And a bunch of people are going to be down there with the Auburn Network. So go tell them the Trip sent you. Go tell them hi and go mingle, meet and mingle here on the Business After Hours. I will be there if I could be. I will be here running the board in the studio for the drive. So I'll be, so stick around with us, I guess, is the way to put that. But I appreciate all of the support. I appreciate you guys going and doing that as well as we continue to make our way here through the last little bit of the hour. Tomorrow, looking ahead, it's Free-for-All Friday. I mean, there's really no way to preference what we're going to talk about outside of that. We're going to have Christian Griffin back in studio. That's something I'm excited about. I'm excited to hear how he went, how he did out in San Francisco. San Martina, I believe, is where he was as well. And he is excited to be able to come back and be able to join us and kind of recap the week, recap fall camp. That's going to be a big conversation as we continue to make our way to football season at the high school level in just a little over 2 weeks. You have Auburn University and coming in just under a month now, just under 30 days, I believe, depending on how many days August has. I think it's 31, so it might be 30 days exactly. But it's going to be a time, and you just can't miss it tomorrow. So Christian Griffin returns, and we got some good stuff planned for you next week. Just to highlight what I talked about earlier, the Auburn soccer team is going to be here. Coach James Armstrong, we're going to be able to talk to him about his season, their first game against Clemson 6 days from now on Wednesday, as well as two phenomenal stars and two phenomenal representatives from the Auburn soccer team. So you're not going to want to miss it if you're a fan of the Auburn Tigers. But that wraps up the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciated you having me here with you. The drive with Justin Ferguson and Coach Don Dunn will take over live from Pythodge Custom Homes next. And so make sure to stick around with them. Stick around with us tomorrow, because sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we'll be back tomorrow to talk all about them. And we hope that you'll be there to join us.